This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Iran's critics at home. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka, on this Monday, January 13. Thanks for joining us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
2 days of protests in Iran after government officials admitted that the country's military accidentally shot down a Ukrainian airliner.
U.S. officials are defending their decision to kill an Iranian military general. Hear what was said on the Sunday TV circuit.
Several people were killed and tens of thousands were without power after heavy rains and tornadoes pounded parts of the south.
And when hackers on the other side of the world hack your car while you're behind the wheel.
It is entirely possible for personal vehicles to be hacked. And that means your navigation system can get crashed. This is about cutting your brakes, disrupting your steering, remotely taking control of the entire vehicle. So this is not something out of Hollywood. Yeah. This is real life.
Phoebe Wall-Howard at the Detroit Free Press on cyber hackers going after internet-connected vehicles. A second day of protests as leadership in Iran tries to get a handle on anger by citizens after the government admitted it accidentally shot down a Ukrainian passenger jet. The admission of the mistake came after days of denials following last Wednesday's air disaster in which all 176 people on board were killed, including dozens of Iranians. Protesters gathered in Tehran and other cities yesterday to denounce what they called lying and incompetence by the country's leadership. Dozens of Canadians lost their lives on that plane as well. Canada Prime Minister Justin Trudeau.
We will not rest until there are answers. We will not rest until there is justice and accountability.
The Iranian military shot down the plane as its air defenses were on high alert after launching missile strikes against American forces in Iraq. The missile strike was in retaliation for the U.S. killing of Iran's most prominent military commander. A tweet in Persian from President Trump's account on Saturday expressed support for protesters. 9 days after a U.S. drone strike killed a top military general from Iran, White House officials are still defending the action. But as part of that, they acknowledge gaps in their claims that four U.S. embassies had become imminent targets of an Iranian attack. White House National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien said on Fox News Sunday that there were threats to American facilities. He added whether they were bases or embassies, it's always hard until the attack happens. Some Democrats feel the president overstated the imminence and scope of planned Iranian attacks. Congressman Adam Schiff is chair of the Intelligence Committee.
Those repercussions that we were briefed about were far more dangerous to this country than anything that Soleimani was plotting, as far as I can tell.
Members of Congress said a threat against four embassies wasn't mentioned in a classified briefing last week. The killing on January 3rd of General Qasem Soleimani provoked missile strikes by Iran on U.S. targets in Iraq. A two-day pounding of severe weather across portions of the southern U.S. and into the Midwest has left at least 11 people dead as tornadoes, heavy rainfall, and high winds ravaged the region. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Two first responders in Lubbock, Texas were among the fatalities, killed when they were hit by a vehicle at the scene of a traffic accident in icy conditions. USA Today says in Oklahoma, a man drowned after being swept away from his stalled truck by floodwaters. And in Alabama, a tornado killed three in Pickens County. Hundreds of thousands from Texas to Ohio were initially left without power by the weekend storms, which forced highway closures and even lifted a trailer home in Louisiana off its foundation and carried it several hundred feet. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. Arkansas and Mississippi declared states of emergency. More than 1,200 flights were canceled at Chicago's two airports as the storms brought slippery conditions and wind gusts up to 50 miles an hour. The city's lakefront, by the way, was battered by waves as high as 18 feet. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. It's a new year, the perfect opportunity to take your business to the next level by hiring the right people. But finding qualified candidates can be challenging. ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon makes it easy. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. But they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. ZipRecruiter is so effective, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. That's ZipRecruiter.com/GORDON. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Again, ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. Glad you could spend some time with us. President Trump's impending impeachment trial and fear of conflict with Iran have quickly cast a pall over a presidential primary contest in which Democrats are already racked with uncertainty about which candidate has the best chance of defeating the president. David Siders, reporter at Politico, says all across Iowa hangs an air of heightened distress, which the candidates are readily leaning into. David, what'd you see during a visit?
I think the escalating conflict in Iran, the impeachment trial and the conversation around that, and then also I don't want to discount the wildfires in Australia. There's some heavy stuff going on, and I think that Iowans are feeling that. And then you combine that with the turn of the calendar. As closely as Iowans pay attention to the caucuses, they're just like us. They go away for the holiday or they turn off their TV screens. I think there's a realization now they have 30 days to decide, and or less than that, and haven't made a decision.
You said that the candidates are making it worse when it comes to this dread over recent headlines, or at least that's what the sub-headline to your story says. What does that mean?
It means that they're leaning into it, I think. It's not meant pejoratively. It may well be that these are things that should be discussed in heavily sober terms. But when you're Bernie Sanders talking about climate change or Joe Biden talking about the morality in the world. These are heavy times. This is not like a happy-go-lucky kind of primary.
Do moods change? Or I guess how much could moods change over the course of the next 10 months?
Well, I think it's fair to say that news cycles in the past couple of years have moved pretty quickly. So it's possible nobody will be talking about Iran, in 2 weeks. On the other hand, I think one of the drivers of concern for Democrats is that if you look at the same polling that shows 3 Democrats still tied in Iowa and voters not really sure which way to go, that the same polling suggests that Democrats also aren't entirely confident that whoever they pick can beat Trump. And that president has definitely struck a chord of fear, I think, with Democrats and has since the beginning. But I think Democrats more broadly had kind of looked to Iowa for a year saying, we're going to figure out a nominee. We'll figure out who has and the big issue in that will be electability, who has the best chance of defeating Trump. And what's clear in Iowa is that Democrats aren't yet sure who that is.
Speaking with David Siders, national political correspondent at Politico, and he's written a piece entitled Sense of Foreboding Darkens Democratic Primary. So all these things combined, have we seen primaries like this before heading into election years? Is this nothing new and we just tend to forget from cycle to cycle?
Yeah, I think it is true that Iowa in a contested primary does break late. And you often hear about caucus goers going into, the caucuses deciding on their way in. And there is some of this sense of, at a caucus, you see who your friends and neighbors are supporting. They make arguments. People can be swayed. So the late break isn't necessarily new. Although when you compare it to the last cycle in Iowa, there were pretty clear divisions between Clinton and Sanders supporters in 2016 that I think made the last month more of a, we know which camp we're rallying around and it's a turnout operation instead of a persuasion one. So this is different in that way.
Who's hearing what on the campaign trail? You offered a couple of anecdotes about people approaching the candidates or firing questions at them. What's that mood like?
I think that there is a deeper concern about the state of the world right now. I think, first of all, there's more foreign policy focus than there has been. This has been a campaign that, before Iran, really didn't focus a lot on foreign policy. Iowa Starting Line, the fantastic in-state coverage of all things Iowa caucuses, said they followed Klobuchar around for one day, and at three separate events, people compared what was going on in Trump to the rise of Nazi Germany. That's pretty heavy stuff. And then there's a lot of the same. There's a lot of the familiar questions about healthcare, jobs, the rural economy, infrastructure. That stuff stays the same as well. There's just this added layer, I think, of concern.
Thanks, David. David Siders, reporter at Politico. 20 minutes after the hour. On This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with three big things you need to know.
Number one, Gordon, online videos show Iranian security forces firing both live ammunition and tear gas to disperse demonstrators protesting against the Islamic Republic's initial denial that it shot down a Ukrainian jetliner. There was no immediate report in Iranian state-run media on the incident in Tehran on Sunday night. Video sent to the Center for Human Rights in Iran show a crowd of demonstrators fleeing as a tear gas canister landed among them. Number two, residents across the South are digging out from a barrage of heavy rains, windstorms, and tornadoes that left several people dead and tens of thousands without power. The storms are part of a weather system that also disrupted travel across wide portions of the Midwest, iced up roads in Texas and Iowa, and brought unseasonably mild weather to much of the Northeast. In Pickens County, Alabama, a tornado killed three people after it touched down Saturday morning. 18 homes were destroyed and several people were injured. Number three, the U.S. is preparing to remove more than a dozen Saudi military students from a training program after an investigation into a deadly shooting by a Saudi aviation student at a Florida Navy base last month. The 21-year-old Saudi Air Force officer opened fire at the naval base in Pensacola, killing three sailors and injuring eight other people. The Justice Department has been investigating the incident as an act of terrorism. Elsewhere, an Oregon man was holding his two young children, a four-year-old boy and a seven-year-old girl, when a ferocious wave crashed into them Saturday and swept them out to sea. The girl died, the brother was missing, and the father was hospitalized and expected to survive. It happened off the Oregon coast near Falcon Cove. Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers relied more on resilience than offense or defense this season, lagging behind past seasons in terms of aesthetics. But the 28-23 divisional round win over the Seahawks was a vintage Rodgers performance. The call on WTMJ's Devontae Adams scored on a Rodgers pass in the third quarter.
Wide open, outside the numbers 20, cuts it back right past Flowers, 10 to the 5, to the end zone, high stepping, touchdown, Devontae Adams, 40 yards.
Rodgers connected with Adams 8 times for 160 yards and 2 touchdowns. And in the earlier game yesterday, the Chiefs roared past the Texans 51-31 after digging themselves into a 24-0 hole in the first half.
Yeah, I went out for like an hour and a half to watch my daughter at a dance performance nearby at South Brunswick High School. And I came back and 52 points were on the board in that game.
That's crazy.
What did I miss here?
I know.
Unbelievable.
You blinked.
Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour. On This Morning, America's first news. The home renovation craze that has hit households across America in recent years is now being taken to a new extreme. DIY-minded parents are buying stock play kitchens for their toddlers and overhauling them with new paint, fixtures, and materials to look more like the real thing. Wall Street Journal reporter Christina Rogers says across the internet, photos, blogs, and even instruction videos have popped up dedicated to the topic of play kitchen makeovers. Christina, how'd you come across this?
Actually, I stumbled upon it because I was looking to buy a toy kitchen for my daughter, and I Googled it, the one from IKEA, and all these blogs and photos came up about people who are redoing their kitchens, their toddler's kitchens. So that's kind of how I stumbled upon it. But basically, what's happening here is you've got parents who are buying kind of these stock kitchens. The IKEA one is really popular, but also, you know, Kid Crafts makes a line of kitchens as well. And these are small kitchens to fit a toddler. Mm. But they're renovating them like real kitchens. They're, you know, painting the cabinets and adding backsplashes and, you know, adding new countertops.
Wow. I'm kind of reading between the lines, but since you referenced IKEA, I'll bring it up. It didn't seem like they were in love with the idea of everybody kind of adding a DIY spin on their cabinets or kitchens.
No, in fact, when I called them for comment and to let them know about this trend, they said, we are aware of it. We just do not support it.
Okay.
I think that for them, it's a safety issue. You know, they stand by their products when, you know, they come out of the factory or go out the store. And when you start altering them, it could compromise it.
I was surprised that one mom said she did it and I don't know, spent a couple of days doing it, but it was like for her own sanity. What did she mean?
Well, I mean, and I can totally relate here, because I have a two-year-old as well. And I mean, it's just like your house is just becomes littered with toys, and all of them are like bright pink or bright red or bright yellow. And really, just sometimes you just don't want to look at it. And so, in fact, I had a bright pink kitchen originally for my daughter, a toy kitchen, and I couldn't look at it.
That's funny.
That's why I replaced it.
How elaborate are some of these setups? Who's doing what?
I mean, I think they get pretty sophisticated. You know, I was just looking, there's a Facebook page dedicated to kitchen makeovers, and there was one woman who put a, kind of lights under cabinet lights, but also a motion sensor light in the stove. Like, I mean, I think people really do get very creative.
Motion sensor light on a play kitchen. Wall Street Journal reporter Christina Rogers. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
New year, new budgets. Every small business has unique needs. When you partner with a Dell Small Business Technology Advisor, you get real-time, tailored advice. They'll even give you a free audit on your servers and storage devices to develop a custom solution to help improve your company's productivity. Plus, right now, upgrade to Windows 10 and get up to 45% off select business computers with Intel Core processors. To speak with a Dell Advisor, call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Patty Poppes, president and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
All of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday, January 13. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Deadly storms hit the south. Another day of protests in Iran over the downing of a Ukrainian passenger jet. Florida teachers set to march on the state capitol today in favor of more funding. Oscar nominations come out this morning. The royal family hosting an emergency family summit to discuss Prince Harry and Meghan. Well, nobody cares. NFL down to its final four playoff teams. And as Clemson squares off against LSU for the college football crown tonight, the one area where Louisiana State is top ranked no matter what. That story in about 20 minutes. The threats of regular people having their vehicles carjacked by cyber attackers is real, since cars have become heavily connected to the internet and are essentially computers on wheels. Phoebe Wall Howard, reporter at the Detroit Free Press, says computer hackers on the other side of the world could, while you're driving, crash your navigation system, cut your brakes, disrupt your steering, or remotely take control of the vehicle. Hackers do not need to be in close proximity. All they need is something as simple as internet connectivity. Phoebe, what do we have?
Well, this is something that the auto companies in Detroit and globally are on high alert. And that is because we know for a fact it is entirely possible for personal vehicles to be hacked. And that means your navigation system can get crashed. This is about cutting your brakes, disrupting your steering, remotely taking control of the entire vehicle. So this is not something out of Hollywood.
Yeah.
This is real life. Yeah.
Has it happened with malice so far that we know of?
Not yet, no, and we hope it does not go that far. But frankly, the sources I spoke to who are experts in cybersecurity, a top guy who handles all military jet security in Israel and works globally, said if people had any idea how serious this was, they may not sleep at night.
Yeah.
He said this is a real deal, and the vulnerability is there.
So clarify, cars, as you say, are basically computers on wheels. They're internet connected. Are they just Wi-Fi connected? They're not. They're fully internet connected. Right.
Everything. And even, yes, because you think of Tesla as a high-profile example, but really all the cars now, they can do updates. They can do, you do your software updates. When your light comes on for a car repair, sometimes that means just pressing a button and doing an over-the-air software update. That means the car is connected. And Tesla has taken great pride in updating your vehicle or doing a fix, from across the country. So the very same capabilities that create convenience also create this apprehension. And what's really kind of amazing is that the car companies, both in the United States and in Japan, China, France, Germany, Canada, they're all working together, sharing the vulnerabilities, because they know that if they don't share, the good guys, the bad guys are sharing. So when someone sees a vulnerability, a company, they actually share it. There's a network, an official network for cybersecurity. And we're on high alert because, of course, the Department of Homeland Security issued a statement to companies all over the United States,
yeah,
saying in light of what's happening in Iran, business must be on high alert for cyber attacks in every capacity.
Speaking with Phoebe Wall Howard, automotive reporter at the Detroit Free Press, part of the USA Today network. Her piece is called "Hackers on the Other Side of the World Can Take Control of Your Vehicle." That makes me long for my 1977 Ford Granada that I had in high school. What can we do though to that point? Is there anything we can do as consumers? Is there an off button, like don't connect me anymore to the outside world? What do you do?
No, you don't. It's like a hope and a prayer. But basically, the other very important thing. This sounds silly, but it's true. But I've had, the cybersecurity folks who've worked for the FBI as well as military security say, watch what you do with your key fobs. That is very serious. They ask people to wrap them in a Faraday cage, in a piece of aluminum foil, throw them in a coffee can when you get home. But this is something very, very simple. But you've had situations where people can go by your house. They can, basically hack the fob and get into your car. There have been many cases where people have done that at shopping malls. And they can basically go into your vehicle and then lock it back up again. So they can take things out and then close it back up again as if it was never disturbed. So these are things, just always paying attention. There's always risk. The former FBI agent said to me, if you have your house hooked up to, if you have a smart house and Alexa and you use all these things, she said, everyone has to understand their risk. We all have a certain threshold.
Yeah.
But the more you connect, the more vulnerable you are. And that's what we're monitoring.
It seems like just a never-ending race versus the cyber crooks, right, who work 24/7 to crack your information or data, whatever.
Well, and also as data becomes more and more important, like I said, the car companies, they have hundreds and hundreds of people working on cybersecurity. People think of car companies as just the manufacturing, mm-hmm, attach the steering wheel to the vehicle. No, you have an entire cybersecurity network at each car company globally.
Thanks, Phoebe. Phoebe Wall Howard, reporter at the Detroit Free Press, part of the USA Today network. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. SimpliSafe Home Security is like getting commercial-grade security, but for your own home. This is exactly the kind of security you get with SimpliSafe. If there's a break-in, SimpliSafe uses real video evidence to give police an eyewitness account of the crime. And that means police dispatch up to 350% faster than for a normal burglar alarm. Outdoor cameras and doorbells alert you to anyone approaching your home. Entry, motion, and glass break sensors guard the inside. Plus, SimpliSafe protects your home from fires, water damage, and carbon monoxide poisoning. It's all monitored 24/7 by live security professionals. You can set up your system yourself with no tools needed, or SimpliSafe's experts can do it for you. And it's only 50 cents a day with no contracts. Go to simplisafe.com/Gordon today to get free shipping on your order, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's simplisafe.com/Gordon to save on home security today. SimplySafe.com/Gordon. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday. It's time now for the mic check with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, it looks like one Kansas City Chiefs fan has a big problem on his hands. Show up or stay away. This after a man dressed in Chiefs garb filmed himself leaving the stadium during the first quarter of Sunday's game against the Houston Texans, in which the Chiefs eventually were down 24-0 before storming back for the win. The man with the handle at CPen for the win apparently thought he was bad luck.
All right, I'm out of here. I'm out of here so we get the second half comeback going. Hopefully. Can't do it. Gotta leave, man. It's the only hope.
Of course, it was shortly after his exit that the team stormed back with 28 unanswered points to go into halftime with the lead, eventually winning the game in a blowout. Now the big question, what about the AFC Championship game? Well, we know what one prominent person thinks. When Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes was asked after the game what he'd say to the fan who left after the first quarter to flip the karma, Mahomes reportedly said, "Watch the next game at home."
Wow. I'm impressed that this guy did this.
Yeah.
But what I'm not sure, did he do it out of pure frustration or was he really trying to do it to benefit the Chiefs?
It's hard to tell. Right. I mean, he had a kind of a smile on his face as he was doing it. Okay. So he wasn't like he was, you know, slamming his fist against the wall or anything. I think he may have truly thought that somehow he was bringing bad luck to the team. He's like, "Okay, everybody, I'm going to leave. We're going to straighten this thing out." So, you know, good for him.
I'm anxious to see what he does next weekend.
Yeah.
Important decision to make.
I mean, if he doesn't come back to the stadium, my hope is that, you know, in town, maybe a restaurant or bar or something will kind of set him up with a nice little, you know, place to watch the game, maybe some free food. That's what I'm hoping.
Okay.
And we've all been there. You may have even been there this weekend as you were watching playoff football, left with cheese dust covering your fingers after consuming more cheese doodles or Cheetos than you probably should as part of a balanced diet. Oddly enough, until now, this phenomenon did not have an official name, even though Cheetos have been around for more than 70 years. Seeking to rectify this and promote their new line of cheesy popcorn, Cheetos put out a press release and have dubbed those powdery cheesy fingers as Cheetle. Cheetle is defined as that orange and red dust symbolic of true Cheetos fandom and could be used, Gordon, in a sentence like this. My hands have Cheetle on them. Yeah. Or did you stain my shirt with Cheetle?
Oh,
I'm not sure how that's happening exactly, how you might stain my shirt with Cheetle. I don't know why we'd be in such close quarters while we're eating, unless I guess maybe we're sharing the same bowl, you know, a hand goes awry. I'm not exactly sure how that would happen.
Maybe a high five, follow through.
Yeah, maybe something like that. Of course, our teams are terrible, so there's no high-fiving going on.
The thing that's so great about Cheetle is that it stays on your fingers even after you lick it off, like really aggressively, like using your teeth and everything to get the Cheetle off. Sometimes Cheetle remains.
Yes. Sometimes you need a shower or two to get rid of the entire remnants of the Cheetle.
How do you like the mic check, by the way?
That's a decent one for today. I'm not sure if that's the leader.
Decent? Decent. You think it's just decent, that's all? Mike Gavin with the mic check.
We're still sorting this out.
13 minutes in front of the hour.
Now that Human Resources VP Ashley Campbell has Kronos for HR, payroll, talent, and time, she's managing her workforce like a rock star. She even has her own hype song. I'm the spark before the fire. I'm
the power in the train. I have a really diverse workforce with different hours, skill sets, and pay grades. Don't stop. I'm the dream and you should know that. Now we're motivating and engaging the right people. Every step of the way.
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well at Gordon Deal. Most states have laws restricting the practice of leaving your car idling, mostly for environmental reasons. Fox News says the rules often apply to folks just warming up their cars in the driveway on a cold day. But doing it could cost you much more than a ticket. That's because an astonishing number of vehicles are stolen each year with the keys left in them. According to the National Insurance Crime Bureau, over 81,000 of the 748,000 cars reported stolen in 2018 had their key or wireless key fob in them. Steam coming out of the tailpipe of an unoccupied vehicle is essentially a rob me sign to a savvy crook looking for an easy target. While remote starting systems are a nice option, the NICB has a couple of tips to prevent thefts. Besides taking the keys and setting the car alarm, obviously, don't store a garage door opener in the vehicle when parked outside, because that can present an easy way into your home. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with three big things you need to know.
Number one, Gordon, Defense Secretary Mark Esper and other administration officials joined President Trump in trying to draw attention to dissent in Iran instead of lingering questions about the scale of the threat used to justify a drone strike on Iran's top military leader. Esper added to the uncertainty over the intelligence behind last week's killing of the general when he told CBS he had seen no hard evidence that four U.S. embassies were in imminent danger.
I didn't see one with regard to four embassies. What I'm saying is I share the president's view that probably my expectation was they were going to go after our embassies.
Trump said last Friday Iran had been planning such an attack. Number two, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she has no regrets about holding on to the articles of impeachment against President Trump for weeks and suggests he could face additional articles of impeachment going forward. Pelosi told ABC she wants to see what the Senate does.
President Clinton allowed the witnesses to come forward. President Trump has prevented that from happening.
Soon after Pelosi's interview, Trump complained in tweets about having been impeached. Number three, 12 people have been shot, five of them fatally, in eight separate weekend shootings in Baltimore. The city recorded 348 homicides last year, its fifth consecutive year with more than 300 murders and the most violent year ever on a per capita basis. Elsewhere, facing criticism for his handling of the ferocious wildfires that have swept across Australia, Prime Minister Scott Morrison says he will call for a government inquiry into the response to the blazes. The crisis has been blamed for at least 27 deaths.
But they're walking into a trap. Your orders are to deliver a message calling off tomorrow morning's attack. If you don't, we will lose 1,600 men, your brother among them.
It took the Great War to finally take down Star Wars. The World War I story, 1917, brought in $36.5 million in its first weekend of wide release, easily topping the box office and ending the three-week reign of Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, which brought in $15 million. Universal expanded 1917 from 11 screens in its first 2 weeks to more than 3,400 on the weekend after it won Golden Globes for Best Director and Best Film Drama.
How about that? All right. Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Louisiana State University fans weren't sure what to expect from this football season, like whether they'd be playing for the national championship like they are tonight. But there was one thing they did know. They were going to drink a phenomenal amount of beer. So nobody was surprised when LSU fans managed to consume nearly 55,000 beers one game in October. The next game, LSU fans smashed their own record. By the time that game was over, Tiger Stadium had sold nearly 61,000 beers. The Wall Street Journal says there is now data to support LSU claims of drinking superiority after the first season that the Southeastern Conference allowed beer sales. But LSU beer drinkers win on the road, too. The first statistical evidence came in 2011 when the Tigers played at West Virginia, one of the first schools in the country that sold beer. The stadium sold $255,000 worth of booze that day, or 82% higher than the average of other games that year. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.